Turn to Proverbs 6:16. So this starts into a new section, not entirely new, because we're still talking about the wicked people here whom the Lord is going to judge, but this is somewhat of a self-contained section from verses 16 to verse 19. It says, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him." So let's look at the first part of that. "These six things doth the Lord hate." So the things that Solomon is introducing is a list of sins, seven of them in total, in the next three verses. So I will read those for you just so we understand what these seven things are. "It is a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren." Those are the seven things the Lord hates. Now this is a side note, but I just came into my mind and I want to say it now because I might forget when I get to verse 18. I learned this in a sermon from Pastor Mott just the other day. Did you ever wonder why "an" is used with heart? Because we use "a" whenever the word following it starts with a consonant, and we use "an" when the word following it begins with a vowel, right? An apple, a bear, right? An orange, a cat, right? So if it's a consonant word, you always use an "a" with it. If it's a vowel, word beginning with a vowel, you always use "an." Now, does heart begin with a consonant or a vowel? A consonant.
It starts with a consonant, but I don't know where you're going. Some people don't always pronounce the H's. And so it's like an art.
Yeah, well, and that's the reason, actually. Because the H in 1611 English and in the British accent, the H is silent. Now, we make some H's silent. Some people make more of them silent than others, like herbs. Most of us don't say herbs, but some people say umble, which is really strange, Judy. But oh, you say umble, yes.
Umble.
Yes. I'm just teasing you.
So you can say
but
Herbert? You, yeah. For Herbert? Herbert?
Yes, you could.
For Herbert?
You could, if you wanted to. But back in, whenever this King James was written, they would say an art. They didn't pronounce the H. Or we have an I priest, right? They don't pronounce the H in high. That's why the Bible says an high priest, an I priest, an art that deviseth wicked imaginations. And I thought that was so neat, and it finally made sense. And that's also why the Bible says mine heart instead of my heart, because mine is used with vowels too. My is used with consonants. But it says mine heart or mine art. So
it's just like our last name Hatcher. Lots of times I've heard Hatcher. Not
really?
Hatcher, yeah.
No kidding. Huh.
I've never heard that, but I know a lady that says human.
Oh, so human? Oh yeah.
It's so humid out.
Yeah, oh yeah. Oh, I've heard people, and I've heard people say human too.
Human. I think human. I have heard that,
yeah.
Maybe not much.
Yeah. So anyway, I just thought that was so neat whenever I heard it. For language geeks, anyway. So anyway, back to verse 16. So Solomon is introducing this list of things that God hates. And he says, "These six things doth the Lord hate." To hate means to hold in very strong dislike, to detest, to bear malice to, the opposite of to love. So some people think, and this is just ridiculous, and it's just grasping at straws, and they're just making it up because they don't like what the Bible says. But some people say that hate is just a lesser degree of love. And they, like I said, they're just making it up. Because the Bible says, "Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated." Well, therefore, obviously God couldn't have hated Esau when he was in the womb. Therefore, hate means a lesser degree of love. They just make it up, right? There's no reason for it. They're just changing the definition of words because they don't like what the Bible says. But as the definition says here, hate is the opposite of love, which anybody with a brain knows. Everybody knows that hate's the opposite of love. It's not a lesser degree. Unless you have some ideology, some theology in your head that says God loves everybody, right? And then you have to start reinterpreting verses and reinterpreting word meanings.
Before I came here, I thought hate is synonymous with dislike.
dislike?
Well, it's to hold a very strong dislike. Yes. So yes, it's it would be, it wouldn't be synonymous with just dislike though.
I know.
Yes.
So it must be the dictionary that I looked it up.
It could be. Could be, yeah, they change over time. So a lot of people have a faulty conception of God. And it's because of Arminianism. Arminianism, the doctrine that God loves everybody, God wants to save everybody. I don't think probably people had this conception of God a couple hundred years ago and prior to that, because they understood that, they understood sovereign grace, they understood that God hates sinners and the wicked. But nowadays, people have this idea that God loves everybody, right? And God wants to save everybody. So therefore, God can only love, right? How can God hate anybody if he wants to? If he loves them all and he wants to save them all? Well, he can't hate anybody. He's only love.
But most people, Arminians actually, they believe that God hates the sin, not the sinner.
Not the sinner, right. That's the slogan.
That's a very common belief.
It is. I used to believe it too. But it's
to believe it too.
Total nonsense, as I will show here. Most people don't know, and when they do finally learn, they refuse to believe that God not only loves, but he also hates. Now, it's true that God is the God of love. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 11. 2 Corinthians 13, 11. It says, finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. The God of love. So, yes, God is a God characterized by love. And furthermore, God is love. 1 John 4 and verse 16. 1 John 4, 16. It says, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. So yes, that is true. God is love. But the question we would have to ask is, what and whom does God love? Yes, God love is a primary, fundamental characteristic of God. But what is it aimed at? What and whom does he love? Well, I'll give you two things he loves, and I'll give you two people he loves. First of all, he loves judgment. Psalm 37, verse 28. Now, more than likely, in many cases, the people that don't think that God loves everybody, they don't love judgment, right? This God that loves everybody, they so-called, also loves judgment, which thing they don't like, because those are the same people that'll tell you, judge not. You shouldn't be judging. Psalm 37 and verse 28 says, for the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The Lord loves judgment. He loves when people make distinctions and choose one thing over the other, choose the good and reject the evil. That's judgment. The Lord loves that kind of thing. The Lord also loves righteousness, Psalm 45 and verse 7. This is a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. So that's two things that God loves, judgment and righteousness. And God also loves the righteous, Psalm 146. In verse 8, Psalm 146, 8, the Lord openeth the eyes of the blind, the Lord raiseth them that are bowed down, the Lord loveth the righteous. But just because he loves some people doesn't mean he loves all, and we'll get to that in just a second. We're told in Hebrews 12 and verse 6, that the Lord loves his children, and that's why he beats on them from time to time. That's what parents that love their children do. They spank them when they need it. Hebrews 12 and verse 6. I was just thinking in the sermon on Sunday, I use biblical language because that's the way that I think, And I said about, you know, some kids you can just beat them and beat them and beat them and they never change. And I hope, I shouldn't even say this, that it's not taken out of context someday. I'm sure it would easily be taken out of context if somebody heard that. Which, and they're probably thinking like child abuse or something. I'm talking about spanking them, hitting them on the butt with a rod.
I don't know, I'm going to beat them with a rod.
Yeah.
No, wait.
Well, and yeah, and that probably wouldn't help to clarify it much. But yeah, like in my mind, when I say, you know, you need to give that child a beating, like I'm not thinking about abuse whatsoever. I mean, I'm thinking about hitting them in the butt with a rod. Now, I guess maybe some people would say that's abuse, but anyway, I just like to use biblical terminology and I don't even think about it. Hebrews 12 and verse 6 says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." So the Lord obviously loves his sons, and that is demonstrated by his chastening and scourging, which is painful. But that's what God does to those he loves. He wants to purge out that sin. And then in Jeremiah 31 and verse 3, we're told that the Lord loves his people, his elect, with an everlasting love. Jeremiah 31 and verse 3 says, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." That's why we've been drawn to Christ. That's why we have been brought unto Christ, and we've been brought unto God through Christ. Because God loved us with an everlasting love. That's why he drew us. And Jesus said, "No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him," which literally means to grab him and pull him, to drag him. That's why God's done this, because he loved us before the foundation of the world with an everlasting love. Now, God is love, but he doesn't love everything and he doesn't love everybody. He hates sin, first of all. I think most people would agree with us on that one. Hebrews 1 and verse 9. This is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. "Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity," which is a synonym of sin. "Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows." So Jesus Christ, the meek and lowly Lamb of God, hates iniquity. He hates sin. Now, most people have such a skewed view of the Lord Jesus Christ. They do not view him as somebody that hates sin. But he does. He despises it. Look at how he spoke to the Pharisees. Right? "Woe unto you Pharisees. Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites."
The way he spoke to Peter.
Right. "Get thee behind me, Satan." Yes, he hates sin. And not only does he hate sin, he hates sinners. Turn to Psalm 5 and verse 5. Psalm 5 and verse 5. Now, like Seth just said a minute ago, people say God loves the sin, or God hates the sin, but loves the sinner. Nothing could be further from the truth. Psalm 5:5, we'll just start with verse 4. It says, "For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee." So he hates sin. "The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity." Doesn't say all works. It says all workers. He hates the people that do the sin as well as the sin that they do. And of course, Romans 9:13 says, "For Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated." So there's a personal, individual example of a man, or in this case, a baby, that God hated, Esau, when he was still in the womb, before he'd done any good or evil, because Esau was born a sinner. That's why God hated him. Now, it's not unholy to hate. A lot of people have this idea that it's sinful to hate. It is not sinful to hate. It's sinful to hate certain things or certain people, of course. Right? You don't hate God. You don't hate God's people. You don't hate good things. You don't hate God's word. You don't hate righteousness. You don't hate justice. You don't hate things like that. That would be sinful. But to hate evil, to hate sin, and even sometimes to hate sinners, is not wrong. I can give you that. I can show you that. I can show you where God hates sinners, but I'll just show you where righteous men hated sinners. I think it's in Psalm 138. There's one place. Psalm 138. Here is the man after God's own heart, King David. Psalm 139. 139, verse, we'll just start with, we'll start with verse 19. The sweet psalmist of Israel, the man that spoke by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord was in him, his word was in his tongue. He said, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, the man after God's own heart. Look what he said. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Deliver from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. So these are God's enemies. These aren't David's enemies. These are God's enemies that are speaking against God, taking God's name in vain. Okay? Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. It is not wrong to hate God's enemies. It is not wrong to hate people who hate God and take his name in vain. I hate Richard Dawkins. I hate people like that. I do. Because they hate God. They publicly hate God. And they make fun of him, and they condemn him, and I hate them. Now, I don't hate all sinners, because I'd hate all you, and I'd hate myself. I do hate myself a lot, but you'd hate everybody if you hated all sinners. And I don't even hate all unregenerate sinners. But I do hate people that hate God. People that use his name in vain, that know better, I do hate them, just like David did. And there's nothing wrong with that. Now, God hates evil, because it's contrary to his holiness and to his law. Proverbs 8 and verse 13. Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate, says the Lord. This is the wisdom of God speaking. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. He hates evil because it's contrary to his holiness. Look at Habakkuk 1 and verse 13. Habakkuk 1, 13. Now, you don't want to hate your enemies. Jesus taught us to love our enemies, right? He taught us that in the Gospels. But hating God's enemies is another story. Habakkuk 1, 13. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he? So Habakkuk is attributing, ascribing this righteousness to God, that he is of purer eyes than to behold evil. He can't look on iniquity. That's why he hates it, because it is contrary to his holiness, to his holy person, to his holy law. And we should hate evil and sin for the same reason. Look at Psalm 119 and verse 128. Now, whereas it is nuanced about people that we should hate, where you want to be careful and only hate people that are God's enemies, people that hate God. And I don't mean like all the wicked are at enmity with God. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about in their nature. I'm talking about in their actual actions and words that they hate God. Okay, so you want to be nuanced with that, but you don't want to be nuanced with hating sin. You hate any and every sin, when it's in your own heart or when it's in other people, when it's your own children, when it's your own parents, when it's your own brothers and sisters, when it's your own pastor, when it's anybody. You hate any and all sin, especially when it's in your own heart. Psalm 119 and verse 128. I don't need to give you any qualification for this one. Psalm 119 and verse 128. It says, therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. And you will feel that way. If you esteem God's precepts in all things to be right, you are going to hate everything that is contrary to it. Every false way.
So false way is synonymous with sin?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Sin is the transgression of the law. To transgress means to go beyond. It's a false way. You're going in the, and you're going in a way that you shouldn't go. So it said there in Proverbs 6:16 that these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven, are an abomination unto him. Let's look at that. You ever wonder why does it say that? Why would it say these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination? I'll get to that part in just a second. But it is kind of strange. Why didn't you just say these seven things doth the Lord hate, you know, and save the verbiage? So there are seven things in the three following verses that God abominates. An abomination is the feeling or state of mind of combined disgust and hatred, abhorrence, detestation, loathing. So abomination is a little bit different than hatred because it's hatred plus something. It's hatred plus disgust. So I'll give you an example of a difference between hatred and an abomination. Let's say you're walking through the yard and you slip on a rock and land on your hip and you're in a lot of pain. You say, I hate that rock. I hate that ground. I hate this pain I'm in, right? That's hatred. Now let's say you were walking through the yard and you slipped and you landed on a big, hot, steaming pile of dog crap. Then you're going to say, I abominate that dog crap because it's not only hateful, it's disgusting, right? That's the difference between hatred and abomination. I just figured I'd give you that example. That might drive it home and make you remember it.
Graphic.
Yes.
You haven't experienced that, have you?
I don't think I've fallen in it. I've stepped in it before. I was coming back from a trip to South Carolina, vacation with some friends of mine years ago in the church. And one of the kids was wee little, and we had to pull over every 6 minutes for her to pee. And so when we pulled over, we were just at some abandoned hotel or something anyway. And so we just ran off in the woods. Eric and I ran off in the woods to pee and ran back and got in the van and took off. And he's like, dude, you step in crap or something? I'm like, no, I don't think so. I look at my feet and it's all over my feet. And it was so disgusting. I bagged the shoes up and put the flip-flops on. But anyway, yeah, I abominated that. I didn't just hate it. That was an abomination.
Okay.
And I actually threw the shoes away. I was just so disgusted with them. Yes, I did.
Well, you could have just waited for it to harden and then just remove it.
If you were around, I might have, but... That was before your time.
Oh, yeah. I'm assuming you didn't have pets growing up.
I did, yeah.
But not normal ones.
I probably did step in. And yeah, well, yeah, I had some abnormal ones too, yes. Anyway, enough of that. So these things here, these seven things that we will learn about next week, these things are not only hateful, but they're also disgusting to God. Just think about that, you know, landing in a pile of dog crap. That's what God thinks about these seven things that we're going to be talking about here in the next couple of weeks. Now, if we are to be conformed to the image of Christ, they should be hateful and disgusting to us too. Look at Ephesians 4 and verse 13. Ephesians 4:13. It says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's the purpose of the ministry, and that's what all of our goals should be, is to come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, to be like Jesus Christ. And if we're going to be like him, then we should hate and be disgusted with sin, especially the sins that we're going to learn about here in verses 17 through 19. Of Proverbs 6. Now, why does he say, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him? In this type of saying, there are six things, yea, seven, this is a poetic style in the Hebrew, and this is just a way of saying that there are seven things that the Lord hates and abominates. And I'll just give you some other examples of this where you'll see this usage in the Bible, and it's just a poetic way of saying it. Proverbs 30. And verse 15. So we're going to look at 15, 18, 21, and 29. It says, the horse leech hath two daughters, crying, give, give. There are three things that are never satisfied, yea, four things, say not, it is enough. And then he lists off four things, right? So it's just a poetic way of saying it. Verse 18, there are three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four, which I know not. Verse 21, for three things the earth is disquieted, and for four which it cannot bear. And then in verse 29, there be three things which go well, yea, four are comely in going. So it just sounds better, I guess, than just to say there are four things the Lord cannot bear. There are four things that go well. You say there are three things, yea, four. Just, you know, poetry is more beautiful than...
So when he's saying six things, yea, seven, or three things, yea, four, he's not putting extra emphasis on that last one.
I don't think so. No. Okay. No, I don't think so, yeah. Oh, really?
I asked about that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I don't think he's putting emphasis on there. It's just just poetic license.
So the last basically. One is categorized the same as the rest.
Yes. Okay. Yep. Thank you. Yep.
Maybe he just wants to put emphasis on those things. Like, there are six. Oh, seven, actually.
Mm-hmm. Like that. Yeah, it does put more emphasis on it than if you just said, hey, there are seven things I hate. If you say there are six things, yea, seven that I hate, then it really emphasizes it. Yes. So each of the seven things the Lord hates in this list are members and persons of the wicked. And we'll look at that. He talks about a tongue and an heart and feet, and then eventually the false witness, and he that soweth discord among brethren. So he starts off with the members of the wicked, like their body parts, and then he moves on to the wicked himself. And we'll look at this here in the next couple of weeks. And since God hates sin in general, there are numerous other things that God hates, but these are the ones that Solomon chose to warn his son about because they are particularly odious in God's sight. So yes, God hates all sin. And Solomon said, there are 743, yea, 744 things which the Lord hates. And he could have listed off, you know, all those things. But these seven are things that God particularly hates. And they are things that we should certainly particularly hate too, since they are delineated right there in the verse. So we'll get to those things next week, Lord willing.